Good morning, church. Good to be with everybody this morning. Welcome to God's house and praise the Lord for everybody having the opportunity to be out here. I want to lay a paper over there before I grab it up and take it with me again. That's the announcements. I took it home with me last week. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I want to talk a little bit this morning about willing to do the difficult. Willing to do the difficult. And I'll get into what I'm going to talk about here in a little bit. But if you would, turn to Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 18. If you would, and when you get there, please, if you're able this morning, please stand and let's read God's Word in honor of God's Word this morning. Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 18. All right. And when it came to pass, as he was alone praying, and his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? And they answered and said, John the Baptist. Some said Elias. Others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering him, The Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. And saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things. Now I want you to, while I'm reading this right here, I want to pay attention to these verses on down with this, because this is going to be the part of my main text here this morning. Verse 22, and saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's, and in the holy, and of the holy angels. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, Father, I come with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I want to thank you for your many blessings, Lord. I want to thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to stand behind the sacred desk this morning. Lord, I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would be with the hearts and the souls that are here this morning. I pray, Father, that you would open their minds and hearts, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would anoint my lips. And, Lord, that as this goes out, Lord, I want to give you the praise and the glory for it all. And thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we ask. And all everybody said, amen. And you may be seated. And thank you. Thank you. Now, this is very pivotal scripture. And I know I've preached a little bit on this scripture here recently, but you know I want to go dig a little deeper into this morning. But it's very pivotal scripture in this aspect. This is the first time that one of the disciples had declared that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, that's pretty amazing. We've went through a lot of the book here, a lot of it, and this is the first time that anyone has declared that Jesus is the Messiah. And you know what? This was a long-awaited prayer that was for the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel had been praying for the Messiah, had been praying for the king. They had been praying for this for a long time, actually. Ever since they went into captivity, they've been praying for it. And I'm going to make a statement here this morning. You may agree with me, you may not on this, but I'm going to tell you what I think about this. There was a greater anticipation for the coming of the Messiah back then than what there is sometimes in the church world in which we live in today. You may think, well, you know what? Yeah, well, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, you know what? Yeah, they had it wrong, but they were looking for a king. They were looking for a political leader to come and to free them from Roman rule. Brother said, we are looking for our Lord and King to come back now and to relieve us and to take his church out of this world and to get us ready to take us home. And I praise God this morning. Don't you think we should be looking towards the eastern sky with anticipation this morning? Praise God. I believe we should. Listen, they didn't have the ability to free themselves.
Brothers and sisters, we don't have the ability this morning to free ourselves from the sin that is in us. But praise God, we have one that died to give us the opportunity to free ourselves. And that is Jesus Christ. I ask you this morning, and as I do every time, if there's anyone here this morning that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior, praise God, I can introduce Him to you this morning. Amen. He's the one. The image of the Messiah. They wanted Him to be political. But here, they were crying out for Him. Can I ask you something this morning? Do you see people? I'm painting with a broad stroke here this morning with a brush. When I'm talking about the church world in general. Do you see that kind of anticipation and that kind of crying and that kind of wanting to see people saved this morning? Do you see that amongst people? You know what? Yeah, we say that sometimes, but truly, are we really wanting to see those in our family lost? Those in our family come to know Jesus? Because I'm telling you, time is growing short, and we should be at full bore on that one. Amen? Oh, I want to see that kind of longing in the church today. How about you? Amen? If folks really thought Jesus would appear at any moment, I think there would be more of an urgency about us trying to talk to our families, about us trying to talk to our friends, about us trying to talk to our neighbors. In Romans 13, it says this, "And that knowing the time that is now, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." I'm telling you, the day is at hand. And I'm telling you, we need to get out of the slumber that we're in sometimes as a church. And we need to get out of slumber sometimes when it comes to talking to the people that we love and let them know that, brother, there is a hell out there. And brother, you need to understand that the only way to not go to that place is through Jesus Christ. And He said to them, "All, if any man will come after Me," He says this, "let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me." We must be willing to surrender our own will and our own desires for His will and for His desires. That's just as plain and simple as I can tell you this morning. We must be willing to do it. I said, we must be willing to do the difficult. That's what I'm naming this morning. We must be willing to do the difficult. Are we willing to put our desires and our will aside and put His will and His desire at the height of whatever needs to be done in our lives? Are we willing to do that this morning? Now, I can't answer that for anybody else in here. I can only answer that for myself this morning. You'll have to answer that for what's going on. You know, Jesus said in Luke 14, we are to add up the cost of being a follower of Him. And brother, whenever we add up the cost, are you willing? Are you willing this morning, whatever the cost may be? Whatever it may be? Look, let me ask you something. This is just for us in here this morning. And I'm not asking you to raise your hands. When's the last time you fasted for somebody? When's the last time you truly fasted for somebody in your family that was lost? When's the last time that you truly fasted for something that you wanted God to answer in your life? The Bible says there one in some scripture that I've read in here, you've read it too. He said, when they were talking about not being able to cast out demons, He said sometimes this only comes about by prayer and fasting. Amen? There are times in our life, and it's just a question you need to answer. I answered for my own life. You answer for yourself here this morning. Obviously, when the word difficult is applied to anything, it is used, it requires some tasks, does it not? How many of you ever did anything difficult in here, in your life, that you thought was pretty difficult? It required a little bit of effort. If you've went to college and you've graduated, you've put a little bit of effort in it. It may be a little bit difficult, right? If you've done other things in your life, well, no matter what it may be difficult. But brothers and sisters, can I ask you something? Even though it was difficult at the end of it, was it worth it? Can I have an amen? Can I have an amen? Being a Christian just doesn't mean We all walk down these aisles of this church and just give our life to Jesus Christ. And then you know what? It doesn't mean we do that. Then we come and we sit down and we cross our arms and say, man, I'm good to go. I'm good to go. That's not what it is about being a Christian. That's not what it means. I'm talking about the difficult part of it here this morning. Listen, hard work. Hard work. I had a preacher say this one time, and I wrote it down. I like it. He said, hard work puts a spotlight on the character of people. And you know how it does it? Belinda, some will turn up their sleeves. Some will turn up their nose. And some won't turn up at all. Amen? Isn't that the truth? You lay it out there like that. I want to talk to you about the difficult part about being a Christian this morning. You know, we're talking about witnessing. We're talking about doing the things that God wants us to do as Christians. You know what? Even in a worldly point of view, if no one thought enough of you to teach you the value of work, I want to tell you something. I don't know if they cared much for you. Amen or oh my. I'm telling you, listen, I can say this about my mother. My mother, one thing my mother taught me down through the years was the value of work. I graduated in June of 1976. I graduated, and my mother told me about a week later, it's time for you to get out of here and go find a job. Oh, yeah. There wasn't none of this where you need to decide what you're going to do. No. That decision had already been made for me. And she told me that. And you know what? I appreciate my mother for that. She taught me. My brother went on. He went right into the service. I had another brother that went right into college. And then I had a sister that went right into college. And she's working two jobs today. I'm just not saying that to brag on my family. I'm just telling you, it was instilled in us the value of work. And I'll tell you young people this morning, I'll talk to you just a little bit. This is just a little sidebar for you. Learn the value of work. Learn that value. Take a hold of it. I know Tink's mom and dad, they had eight kids. And whenever it come time to roof a house, guess where the daughters were at? They were roofing the house. That's what they were doing. And whenever they tore out the drywall in the house, guess what they were doing? They were tearing out drywall. Their mom and dad taught them the value of work. And I'm going to tell you this morning, there is value in working for the Lord this morning. I want to tell you, it's not going to be easy. That's not going to be. There are some principles that I want to lay out this morning for you. I hope and pray that. Listen, and I'll throw in some scriptures with them. But I want you to go back, and we'll go back to that. Now for the difficult part. As a nation, I'm going to talk to you in a minute. As a nation, that other than God, there is no one coming to help you. Amen. There's no one that is coming to help us. Just like the nation of Israel was longing for the sin in the first century, was looking for the Messiah. The only hope that this nation has, and the only hope that any nation has in this world, may I add to it, is through God and is through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the only hope. Don't look to the government for your source of hope. Don't depend on the government for your source of hope. Don't depend on this election coming up for your source of hope. I'm telling you here this morning, our only hope is in trusting God to be with us and God for us. Amen? And as a church, our voices need to be heard in this nation. Can I have an amen on that? The voices of wickedness have long been loud and they've long been strong. And there have been times where the voices of righteousness have been kind of timid. But brothers and sisters, that's been going on for too long. And it is time. It is high time we awake out of sleep. And we must decide which side we're on. Can I tell you with an honest, sincere heart, there's no middle ground in this thing. There's none. If you think this morning that you can sit back and not say anything, and not say anything about what's going on, you know what you're doing? You are being complicit with what's going on in the nation. You're being complicit. Your silence is where you are, is where you stand. That's what it is. There is no covert Christianity. Does anybody think that there is? Does anybody think that we can just sit back and we can be a covert Christian? That we can just let the world pass by and we don't have to say anything? I would say this morning. And I know probably I'm preaching to the choir in all of this, but it's high time that it's Christianity's voice be found. It's high time. We cannot afford just to fold our arms like I did a little bit ago and sit back and let everything and let the wicked voices narrative continue to be the case. It will be difficult. There it is again. It's going to be difficult for you and me to stand up and to let the world know where we stand. But the truth that we hold in this word right here is the truth that is life-changing. It can change life. Can I tell you, it changed this old boy's life one time. It changed me. It made me from what you would have never thought one day I would be standing behind a pulpit of God preaching God's word. But it changed me. And I'm telling you, it can change you. In Proverbs 18:21, it says this: death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The difficult part is God has put that task on every born again believer. If you're saved in here this morning, that task just doesn't fall on the preacher. It just doesn't fall on the teachers. It just doesn't fall on the leaders of the church. That task falls on every individual that's in this church that holds up the banner of Christianity this morning. 1 Peter 3:15 says this: but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you for meekness and fear. Now I'm going to ask you this morning. Do you have hope here this morning? I got hope. Yeah, I hope and pray this morning that you got hope. I hope that you have it. Because you know what? If you have hope this morning, you've put your trust in Jesus Christ. That's what you've done. The difficult part is God has tasked us, every one of us, to do that. The delivery system fits everybody's hand in here this morning that's a Christian. It fits your hand and it fits my hand. What was required of the early church, what was required of my grandparents, what was required of my parents, is required of everybody that's sitting here this morning that calls herself a Christian. It's required of every one of us. You say, it's not an option. It's required. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's for everyone that's a Christian. We're to go out into this world. The times we live in are difficult. I agree with you. The times we live in are difficult, but God has given us the means by which we can face difficult times. The same God that helped Noah preach for 100 years, Michelle, without one convert. As a preacher, wouldn't that kind of get you down a little bit? He preached for 100 years. Not one person accepted the message. Can I tell you, there's going to be people that don't want to hear what you have to say. They don't want to hear what you have to say. They don't want to hear what that Bible has to say. But you know what God tells us to do? Yeah. Keep on preaching.
There you go.
Keep on giving it to them. Keep on letting them know that, you know what? That God loves them. And that He sent His Son to die. And that He will do that for you like He did for me. That's the God. The times we live in are difficult. I know the same God who shut the lion's mouth in Daniel is the same God today. You know, Daniel wouldn't bend a knee per se. Or actually, he did bend a knee. He opened up the window and prayed when they told him he couldn't pray. How about us sometimes today? You know what? You think, well, this ain't going to happen in the good old U.S. of A. I'm telling you, we don't know what we're going to have to face in this country before it's said and done. Are you willing to open the windows and pray if they tell you you're not allowed? Are you willing to do it? Daniel did it, but God can give you grace and strength whenever that grace and strength is needed. The same God who was with the apostles when they were being crucified upside down, when they were being filleted like a fish, when they were being set on fire at the stake and set on fire, when they were being beheaded, all these things, the same God that was with them is with us today. We may be called to do the difficult part. Are we ready for it? The truth that we hold will not change. The truth of this word will not change. Isaiah 48 says this, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. It will stand forever. They have tried for centuries to discredit the word of God. They have tried to say that it's nonsense. They have tried to do this and to do that. But guess what? Guess what? We're still here preaching it this morning. We're still here believing that it's the truth because you know what? One day He saved me and I know that the Holy Spirit lives within me. I know that. And I'll tell you, I believe this morning it is the same God that can still save to the uttermost this morning. No matter the culture we live in, for what is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whatsoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come into his own glory and his Father and the holy angels. Even, you know, we're supposed to obey the laws of the land until they go against the word of God. Even if they make laws against the word of God, Christian, our loyalty should always be to the word of God. Absolutely. Peter tells us in Acts, he said, and when they brought them, they set them before the council and the high priest and asked him, saying, did not we straitly command you not to teach in his name? Did we not tell you? We don't want to hear the word Jesus in this town. And that's what they were telling him. He said, did we not do that? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, intended to bring the man's blood upon us. Then listen to what Peter said. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Can I tell you something? I hope and pray as Christians, you are filling the workplace up with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that when you go to Walmart, you are filling that place up with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Ken, I hope when you go to the gas station again, that you're filling up the place, that place with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. That's what Peter did. Praise God. That's what we need to do. Amen? Too many times as Christians, we have this get out of jail card free. I don't want to be involved in politics. See, we have that get out of, we say that. I agree. I'm not up here to stand to advocate for any kind of political party or any kind of candidate. But you know what I will stand up here and advocate for? I want to see Judea Christian values and principles be the guide to whatever we talk about and whatever we vote for. Can I have an amen? Amen. That's what I want to see. As Christians, that can be difficult. I agree with you. Listen, we have to the courage to say, I'm for those things. I'm not for those things. I'm against other things and not just sit back and be quiet. Actually, use your voices and our votes to speak out. Joshua told the people of Israel, after they had settled into the promised land, he said this to them, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. And I'll lay it out there to you today just like Joshua did. But as for me and my house, what are we going to do? We'll serve the Lord. Amen? Let the world do what they want. We will serve the Lord. You want a good barometer of where the church mindset is today? You go out and look at the top 10 Christian books that are being sold out there today. They're about how to be healthy. Nothing wrong with that, but They're about how we want to how we want what we want when we want to get it. They're about how right-wing Christianity is ruining Christianity. And how to be a godly man. Now, I'm not saying that all those books are bad, but what I'm telling you is there needs to be more books out there telling us we need to do the difficult stuff. We need to go out and witness. We need to go out and let the world know that, hey, listen, thus saith the word of God, not what man says. That's the difficult part that needs to be said. Listen, that's the Christian mindset in some of these things today. Let's decide today we are willing to do the heavy lifting. You're willing to do the heavy lifting today? Because it's going to be heavy lifting. It's going to be difficult. Christianity light doesn't get it anymore. Amen? It doesn't. It just doesn't. To grow in faith will require doing our part, lifting the heavy stuff. Listen, you can only mention Jesus. You can't only just mention Jesus in church. How about using his name in front of a lost spouse? How about using his name in front of a lost family member? How about using his name at school? How about using his name at work? The world's good about using his name. Can I have an amen? Oh, yeah. They're very good about using his name. Of course, we know how they use it. The Lord knows God. Listen, how about letting those around you know that you're biblically, your biblical morality, even though no one else is, that you're for it? It can be difficult. Raise your hand to say, you don't think children should be sacrificed for convenient reasons. Amen? I don't think they should be. Or God didn't redefine my marriage that I've seen anywhere in the Bible. How about we raise our hand and say that? Or that actually sex outside of marriage is wrong? How about that? Listen, brothers and sisters, I got quiet. Praise the Lord. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's time we do the difficult stuff. It's time we do the difficult stuff. It's obvious, and I'll say it again, this Christianity light hasn't been working. It hasn't been working. Jesus told his disciples that difficult things lay ahead in that scripture I read to you this morning. And for that, and for the matter of fact, for us, as a matter of fact, you choose to pick up that cross and follow him, you're going to have to do some difficult things. And you know what it said? Patty, it says you pick up your cross daily. Isn't that what it said? It doesn't say you pick it up, and about a year later, you pick it up again. 2 years later, you said you pick up the cross daily and follow me. Follow me. Do the difficult stuff. Do that. Listen, I'm not standing up here just preaching because you know, the preacher's up here, but I got a lot on me too that I've got to do. Amen? It's not just you, it's me. I've got to learn. I've got to get my nose at that altar and say, Lord, where have I failed? Where have I failed? And that's up to everybody in here. You choose to pick up. Let's go do the difficult thing. Someone right now is facing a fight, a medical fight with cancer or something else. Are you willing to go stand with them, not knowing how it's going to come out, not knowing, but you're willing to go and stand beside them and hold their hand and pray and say, "I'm with you, I'm with you. I know you're in the battle for your life, but I'm with you." Are we willing to do the difficult thing? Listen, I'm here to tell you, as Christians, brothers, we should be willing, no matter who they are, to do the difficult thing. It isn't all just about us. You're not sure how it will turn out, but you'll be right there. Let's do the difficult thing together. You may be sitting here this morning telling me, my kids are struggling. Listen. There's people in this church that had their kids struggle. Can I have an amen? You've had your kids struggle. And brother said, are you willing to do the difficult thing and talk to them and pray with them and go with them and hold their hands and tell them, I will go with you? That's the difficult things. It isn't all sometimes this big stuff. It's sometimes this little thing that makes a difference. And not judge them, not put your nose in the air and say, well, they did. No. Are you willing to do the difficult thing? Listen, maybe there's somebody here for my marriage is struggling. Maybe you're saying that. You're willing. My marriage is falling apart. Listen, me and her prayed with a woman one time for months. Matter of fact, it was over years because her husband left her. And we prayed. And we prayed. But we were with her through the whole thing. Oh, yeah, they ended up getting a divorce. But we were with them through the whole thing. Because you know why? Because thus for the grace of God, there go I. And there go you. I'm here this morning to tell you. I'm here to tell you. Are you willing to step up and do the difficult thing when it is necessary to do it? When they need prayer, when they need to talk. Isn't that right, dear? No matter what time of the day or night it is. Are you willing? Not just me, not just the teachers, not just the leaders. I'm looking at everybody in this church. Are you willing to do the difficult thing? When that need and prayer, listen, I could go on and go on and on. Difficult, not easy. Difficult can be rewarding. Absolutely. Belinda, come get a song, please. I'm asking you this morning. This is for you. This is for you and me both this morning. Are we willing to do the difficult thing to see this church on fire for God? Are we willing? Are we willing to do the difficult thing to see these pews filled? Not because we want to see numbers, because every one of them seats, every one of them people in them seats is a soul. That's what they are. Let's do the difficult thing together. Not individually. Let's do it together this morning. If you would, you can come up here this morning and let's pray.